Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Exodus chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 13 through 22 this morning. And our custom has become reading responsibly. I read the odd verses because I'm extremely odd. And you get to read the even verses because you're just a nice, even, you know, people, good balance to you, just a delightful congregation to preach to. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, we're going to read back and forth. I'll start in verse 13. You can join me on the even verses after that. Here in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is the memorial, my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt, unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst of thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians." Well, we were able to read here today and talk about this great passage of Scripture. And you've probably heard many messages preached on this subject before. But you know, God is God. I know that seems simple. As Moses inquired and said, you know, God, who should I tell the children of Israel that you are? And he said, tell them, I am that I am. That's pretty simple. You know how much I like looking at definitions of things. The definition of the word am is pretty simple. It's a form of the word be. It means exist. God is. God exists. He is a being. He is the being, if you will. And he says, I am that I am. And he says furthermore, you should tell him that the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. You understand, folks, that the very basic premise of why we're here today is that God exists. God exists. And if God exists, then what are we supposed to do? Yeah. You see, most of the world today is not willing to acknowledge that there is a God. And if they are willing to acknowledge that he exists, his existence doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything to them. And it should. The very existence of God simply ought to make manifest to us that we should be glorifying Him. Did you know that's why man was created? Man was created to glorify God. That's our sole purpose on this earth, is to glorify God, to bring glory to the Creator. You understand that if this is the case and this is where things are, then we've got to know about our God. Last month we had a little plaque on this platform, or on the table up front here, accentuating world missions. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." God loves mankind. We are His creation. He said, but He created everything. Yes. But you know, man was the only one created in the image of God. We're special, folks. We are. We're special. Now, don't let that go to your head. But we are. We're not the same as cats and dogs. I'm sorry, all you dog lovers. All dogs do not go to heaven. I didn't mean to drop that bombshell on you. They don't have a soul. They don't have a never-dying soul like we do. I mean, I'm for you treating your pets well and things like that, but they're not people. I just lost about half the crowd. But you know what? We're special in God's sight. He wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want a single person to go to hell. You see, then why did he orchestrate all of it this way? Folks, because there has to be this thing of dark and light. That just as it has to be. If we were not created with a choice, then we'd be no different than the angels or anything else. You understand that God has made us special. And He doesn't make us serve Him. He doesn't make us follow Him. He doesn't make us acknowledge Him or even admit that He exists. He allows us to choose. We have a choice. We have God speaking here to Moses. Moses is wondering, what should I tell the people of Israel about you? And He gives them instructions and basically says to them, just tell them that I exist. Think about what they'd been through down in Egypt. And I suppose being in bondage after the pharaohs that knew Joseph forgot what had happened. And they're in bondage and they begin to be put under the slavery. And now their children are being murdered. Sound like anything today? Their children are being murdered. Do you suppose they had a question as to whether God existed or not? Their cries were coming up before God, right? And seemingly, God was not hearing them. You understand this, right? So God tells Moses, tell him I exist. Tell him I exist. Over in John chapter 8 and verse 58, the Bible says this, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You know, the God of heaven exists. Jesus testified that to that. And over in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. You understand that from the beginning to the end, God exists. And we know that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So you understand that as I'm talking today, I hope that not only do you realize that God exists and this is the record that we have of God. The Bible. Without this book, what would we know of Him? Yeah, nothing. So guess what? Whenever Dr. Duflunky says that he knows better than the Word of God does, I don't believe him. I don't care how many degrees he has. Because this is the source of what we know about God. This is the source. And that's why I'm glad to be called a Bible-believing Baptist. Because it's not about religion. And it's not about all these things that groups of scholars and people get to know. It's about what the book tells me about God. And guess what? It's enough. There is more than I can fathom to understand in a lifetime. Right here in these pages. I don't need somebody else's reading to go after. I could just spend the time studying the Word of God. As it says we should do. All that to say, and this is all introduction, so you know how long the message is going to last this morning. It's to say that God simply that God exists. And that He is God. And He does care about us. And the Bible tells us that He sent His Son to die on the cross, to be buried, and to rise again the third day for our salvation. Here in our text, we see how God has set forth a plan to save the people of Israel out of bondage. A very intricate plan. One thought about it, put together very carefully. Thought through, if you will. Can I tell you something? That one of the greatest statements in the Bible is when the fullness of time had come. Folks, God knows all about our lives, this world. I often try to help us remember, God is not bound by time. Time is something He created. He's outside of the bounds of time. He sees all and knows all that's going to take place. God has sent forth His Son in the fullness of time. You say, What does that have to do with anything? God has provided salvation for us. God has provided a new life in Christ for us. God has provided for us to live life and to live life abundantly through Jesus Christ. Here we see a beautiful picture of that. Now, there is the historical value to this passage of Scripture, is there not? But there's a great picture to see. That the God that exists, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that was sending Moses, His servant, to the people to have Pharaoh let them go, provided a plan and a plan of salvation for them. Now, understand, the indication of this is to tell us about how God was going to rescue His people out of Egypt. I understand that. And how He sent the plagues and He hardens Pharaoh's heart for a time. And then finally, at the end of it, He's going to take His people out with a mighty hand. And they're going to spoil the Egyptians. So you understand that God was going to judge the Egyptians for what they had done. And it was going to benefit the people of God. You understand that as well. As they get into the wilderness, the tabernacle, they were going to build this beautiful tabernacle to worship God. Guess where they got all this stuff? From the Egyptians. By the hand of God Almighty. God had a plan for them. He put forth the plan and sent this deliverance to the people of God. It's a beautiful picture of what God has done through us, for us through Jesus Christ. You understand that God loves us and God has sent His Son. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is part of that I Am that exists. You know, there are groups around today questioning whether or not Jesus actually ever existed in this world. Can you believe that? There are. Don't put it past the devil to even make people wonder if Jesus actually was a real figure or something of someone's imagination? Because guess what? What does he want to do? Yeah, he's a cancel culture, right? He's trying to cancel the Lord. That's what he's trying to do. And so, he exists. In Matthew 26, Jesus was being scourged and judged by the Sanhedrin. And the chief priest is addressing him, and he says, the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God. Now, this guy believed that God existed. He said, hey, I'm asking you a question, Jesus. Tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. I like that. Don't you like that? He said, yeah, you said it. That I'm Son of God. Then he said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. Jesus Christ knew who he was. And the people around him knew who he was. It was foretold there would be a baby born of the lineage of David to save the people from their sins, providing salvation. In Luke chapter 2, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God sent his Son in the fullness of time. And Jesus exists, if you will. He still exists, doesn't he? He existed during that time. He died, was buried, and rose again, and ascended back into heaven. And guess where he lives now? At the right hand of the Father. Don't you love that song? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Yeah? He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. You understand, folks, he exists. Jesus Christ exists. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. The high priest knew he was. And Jesus said to him, hey, you've said it, pal. Yeah, you said it. I am him. And you'll see me coming back. You'll see the results of it. Folks, you understand that as Jesus Christ lived his life, he worked here in this ministry, preaching the gospel and leading people to himself. After his death, there were those that went to the graveside. And they were at the sepulcher. It says, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the woman had said. But they saw him, him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and of a slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Remember those two disciples on that road to Emmaus? He explained to them. He said, hey, listen. You're not paying attention. I exist. Haven't you heard the prophets? Haven't you read the scriptures? Don't you know these things? And folks, today, listen, we have a whole book that contains that God exists and that God the Son exists. He's our God. I am hath sent me unto you. Folks, I am has given us His Word. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to say, well, we're not sure. We ought to know. Jesus said to them, you're fools and you're slow of heart to believe these things. You should know better. Remember that after He left, what did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? I mean, they knew it, but they were just a little slow. They figured it out. Remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well? She saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith to her, I that speak unto thee am He. Remember when she believed that He was the one that had the living water, and she asked for that living water, and she was gloriously saved? What'd she do? She went back into town and she told her friends and all the people that would listen that there's a man out there that told me all things that I ever did. She brought them out to the well, and many were saved. As Andrew and some of the others that heard John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, behold the Lamb of God. He went to Peter, his brother, and said, hey, we have found Him. He exists. And we believe, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. You understand that Simon, Andrew's brother, was this Peter. When put to the task in John chapter 6, Jesus, having taught some hard sayings, the disciples departed. He said unto the 12, will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Folks, can I tell you something? In our lives, we need to have the surety and the confidence that He exists and He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is I Am. If Christians today, if churches today would live with the confidence that God exists, that the Son of God exists. Oh, what great things we could do for the Lord. What great things we could accomplish for the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke much of His divinity. He spoke much of His relationship with God, the Father, as God the Son. They both exist. They both exist. As Moses went to the people, now with the confidence that God had sent him, having overcome his shortcomings in his life, overcome his nerves, if you will. He even had to get his brother Aaron to come and be a mouthpiece and a spokesperson, because he just wasn't confident of his abilities. But as he stood before Pharaoh, as he stood before the people, he knew that God existed. And as the signs and wonders were done in the sight of things, although Pharaoh's heart was hardened, ultimately, Pharaoh acknowledged that God existed and let the people go. Which is our job. It's our job to stand and proclaim that God exists. That God the Son, the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ exists. Jesus Christ said, I am he. In 1 John 5, the Bible says, whosoever that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him and that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because he is the Spirit, or because the Spirit is truth. Hey, you understand? Not only does God exist, not only does Jesus Christ exist, but the Holy Spirit of God exists. You say, oh, Pastor, you're a Baptist. You can't talk about this subject. Well, can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit of God is real. The Holy Spirit of God exists just as much as God the Father exists and God the Son exists. You say, then why aren't you rolling on the ground and barking like a dog and running around and going... Because that's not the Holy Spirit. Might be a spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. He exists. Don't be afraid of the subject of the Holy Ghost because religion has twisted it. He's real. He exists. Hey, folks, he's the Spirit of truth. I just read that to you. He's the Comforter. And the Bible tells us that he indwells the believer. Now, does that seem... No, I'm... Okay, I can't say I'm not making fun, because I am. does that seem like God to you? Whacking people on the head? Then falling over? Doing uncontrollable things? Convulsing? Does that seem like God to you? Let me... I don't see that in there. Just because that has gotten out of hand doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit of God is not real and that he doesn't exist, because he does. He's the Spirit of truth. He guides us into all truth. And guess what? He'll never speak of himself. He'll speak of Christ. That's how I know that some of these folks that say they have the Holy Ghost don't. Because guess what it's all about? Self-promotion. That's not what the Holy Spirit's about. These things exist. They exist for a purpose. Jesus said, hey, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send the Comforter. And when the Holy Ghost came upon those in Acts chapter 2, there were no convulsions. There was no craziness. You say, but the people thought that they were drunk. Well, last I checked, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, later on in the book of Acts, the Bible says that the people had taken notice that they had been with Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It makes you appear as though you've been with the Lord. Where is he? At the right hand of the Father. Well, who's with us and in us then? The Holy Spirit of God. He's real. And his witness beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. As we go out and we preach the gospel to every creature, it ought to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God is our source of supply for success in life. Did you notice that back in our text, The source of supply was the mighty hand of God. The people of God didn't spoil the Egyptians. They didn't go into their neighbors' houses and steal those things from those Egyptians. They didn't go in and do a mutiny or a riot looting as they went out of the city. The Egyptians gave this stuff to them because God had provoked them to do it. God gave them those things. They didn't take them for themselves. God's our source of supply. If you'd like, take your Bibles and turn over to John chapter 15. In John 15, Jesus is speaking about not only his relationship with the Father, but our relationship with him. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. You know, God, in the form of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, folks, we can do nothing. If we don't believe that God exists, we have nothing. If we believe that God exists, but that Jesus Christ is not the Son, the Savior of the world, guess what we have? Nothing. If we accept Christ as our Savior and we have salvation because we believe in God, believe in God's Son, but then we sit here with just a Christian life that's empty and without the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we've got nothing. You know, you can go to heaven and get there by the skin of your teeth, if you will. Which, you understand, your teeth doesn't have skin. Okay? And if they do have some kind of a film, you need to brush your teeth. It's not skin. That was kind of gross. Sorry. These thoughts come to my head sometimes. You can be a Christian. You can go to heaven. Guess what? As your works are tried, the wood, the hay, and the stubble is all burnt up. Only the gold, the silver, and precious stones remain. Have you laid up treasure in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and where thieves cannot break through or steal? We got to get this and we got to understand. Oh, yes, I am. God exists. God the Son exists. God the Holy Spirit exists. And listen, we got to be plugged in. Accept the branch, abide in the vine. He's our source of supply. You've heard about the illustration. You can have a vacuum cleaner. And you can run that vacuum cleaner all over this carpet right here. But it's not going to do any good unless it's plugged into the outlet. No good at all. Oh, it's still a vacuum cleaner. It still has all the parts. It has all things. But if there's no power in it, what good is it going to do? None. As we move into this third month of the year, as we endeavor to press toward the mark, for the first month, I tried to adequately set the tone and the foundation for this year. As we as a church and as we as individuals press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we focused on world missions and the Great Commission in February, and as we as a church are to be that lighthouse and the source of the light into this darkness through Jesus Christ. Now, folks, we've got to get to the place where we're doing it with the power of God. As Moses went to the people of Israel, he said, God, who should I tell them has sent me unto you? What is his name and what shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I am that I am.
Folks, we've been called to go out into this world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been called to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've been called to go out and preach the gospel to every creature and teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We've been called to go out and be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But we ought to go knowing who has sent us. Knowing His name. That God exists, that God the Son exists, and that God the Holy Spirit exists in our lives. We ought to be able to go with power and with authority and with the knowledge that God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. Has God appeared to you? You say, no, Pastor, I haven't ever seen a burning bush that was not consumed. And it never spoke to me and said, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. Not what I'm talking about. You understand that God draws us to Himself? Has there been a time that you realize that God exists? Has there been a time where, as a lost sinner bound for hell, realized that Jesus Christ exists? And now, as a born-again Christian, having put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know that the Holy Spirit exists. This is the kind of life I'm talking about. This is the kind of thing that we need as we go forward for Christ in this year. We are now entering the third month of the year. How are we going to press toward the mark? How are we going to press toward that prize and reach that calling of God that God has given to us? If we don't even acknowledge that He exists. He's God. He is I Am. Jesus is God the Son, the Christ, the Messiah. The Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit of God. He does indwell the believer. These things are true. You say, Pastor, this is such a simple message. It is. But it's one that we must grab hold of. If Moses would not have grabbed hold of this truth, how would he have done standing before Pharaoh? How would he have done standing before the people when they were tasked even harder because of Moses' interference with their menial lives? Remember, they told him to go away. They said, we don't want you interfering with us. We were just fine. Now we got to make bricks without straw. You're messing everything up. We have a good here. What? Folks, it's important that we acknowledge God for who He is. That we acknowledge Jesus Christ for who He is. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit of God for who He is. God exists. Does He exist in your life? In those three ways? Because here's the thing. As we live our lives, and as we work toward the work that we're called to do in Christ Jesus, we need to be like it says here, what Jesus said in John chapter 10. He's talking with the Pharisees again, and he says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. You see, we have a work to do. Today, if you're saved, if you believe that God exists, you believe that Jesus Christ exists, live believing that the Holy Spirit of God exists in you. He's your source of power. He's your source of success. He's your source of truth and guidance in this life. If you have not yet trusted Christ as your Savior, trust Him today. And if you're even out there today, maybe this morning, and maybe somebody invited you, or you've not really ever believed in the existence of God, believe it today that God exists. And He is God. And He wants you to be saved today. He wants you to live an abundant life. He wants you to be fruitful because He exists. Christian, be encouraged that we can finish our course. We can keep the faith. And there is a crown of righteousness laid up for us. God is true and every man a liar. God cannot lie. God is I am.